This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
He has been called the greatest scientific genius the world has ever known. Yet he spent less time on science than on theology. The famous poet Alexander Pope espoused a well-known epitaph that epitomized Isaac Newton's fame. Here's what he said. Nature and nature's laws lay hid in night. God said, let Newton be, and all was light. Sir Isaac Newton predicted when the end of the world would come. And according to the British Express, there in London, we don't have much time left. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk That Transforms. Today is no exception. This is going to be an extremely informative time together today. For those of you who have any interest in science whatsoever, it's going to be an absolutely fascinating time for you. And for the rest of us, we're going to do this in such a way that whether or not you have a profound interest in science, you will definitely have a profound interest in the prediction that Isaac Newton made concerning the end of the age. Now, who was this fellow? Who was this fella called Sir Isaac Newton? Believe it or not, even in his lifetime, his contemporaries' adulation verged on worship. Following his death in April of 1727, Sir Isaac Newton lay in state in Westminster Abbey for a whole week. At the funeral, his pall was borne by three earls, two dukes, and the Lord Chancellor. Even the wicked, atheistic Voltaire made this observation. He was buried like a king who had done well by his subjects. No scientist before or since has been so revered and interred with such high honor. So, who was this man whose stature has dominated the scientific landscape for three centuries? And why did his achievements have such an impact on society? And what role did Newton's faith play in his life and his work? We want to talk about all of those things here today on Viewpoint because, believe it or not, all of this has come. It's as if Sir Isaac Newton has been resurrected. It all came out in the British newspaper, The Express. Who would have ever believed it? But it did. It came out on the front page. It didn't make the tabloids, but it did make the front page of a paper coming out of London that Sir Isaac Newton had predicted when the end of the world would come. And they said, we don't have much time left based upon that prediction. The godfather of physics wrote in his findings from 1704, the world is set to end on 2060, exactly 1260 years from the foundation of the Holy Roman Empire. The famous scientist reached this apocalyptic conclusion by analyzing the Bible's book of Daniel. But how he reached the conclusion exactly is still a mystery to many more than 300 years later. His work on the matter, which was kept in a trunk, not of a car, but in a trunk that they carried around in the house of the Earl of Portsmouth for 250 years, stated, it may end later, but I see no reason for its ending sooner. This I mentioned, said Isaac Newton, not to assert when the time of the end shall be, but to put a stop to the rash conjectures of fanciful men who are frequently predicting the time of the end and by doing so bring the sacred prophecies into discredit as often their predictions fail. As failed the prediction, for instance, in 1844. And most recently, another prediction came just a few weeks ago. In his notes, Sir Isaac wrote that wicked nations will be in ruins and the Jews will return from captivity to their homeland before the end of the world. He wrote that the ruin of the wicked nations, the ending of weeping and of all troubles, the return of the Jews from captivity, and their setting up of a flourishing and everlasting kingdom. His notes are on show in Jerusalem's Hebrew University, and the curator of the exhibition said that the famous physicist had been guided by religion and not science. Fascinating. The curator of the museum said, "These documents show a scientist guided by religious fervor, by a desire to see God's actions in the world." Sir Isaac had a fascination with the end of the world. The topic was even the subject of a 2003 documentary called Newton, the Dark Heretic. The producer of that documentary said, "What has been coming out over the past 10 years is what an apocalyptic thinker Newton really was." He spent something like 50 years and wrote 4,500 pages trying to predict when the end of the world was coming. But until now, it has not been known that he ever wrote down a final figure. He was reluctant to do so. Today we discuss what some say is that final figure, how he came up with it, and how you and I should understand it. 2060? Whatever happened to 1844? Whatever happened to the numerous predictions that have occurred just in the past 15 years, 20 years? Whatever happened to those? The Bible says no man knows the day or the hour. But it doesn't say that we should not understand the season, except the Bible does say that the seasons are in the Lord's hands. We understand that. So with all of that together, again, I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. I trust that today's program will be somewhat transformative for you, certainly informative. But if all we do is inform and it doesn't move to the level of application and transformation, then information becomes very stale. It's not fulfilling. It goes nowhere. And so we're dedicated here on Viewpoint always, not just to inform, but for there to be transformation, and that comes through application, because information without transformation leads to frustration, stagnation, and often even termination. So again, it's a delight to be able to join with you. And before we get into the depths of this, I just want to share with you that my life has always been fascinated. I've always been fascinated with Sir Isaac Newton. And I remember in high school, I wrote my paper, my term paper, on the Principia, which was Sir Isaac Newton's overarching, most fundamental publication of his findings as a scientist. We're going to see what some of those findings were today, but that's not all. We're going to take a look at his study of prophecy. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Sir Isaac Newton has been called the greatest scientific genius the world has ever known. Now that's some statement. Some statement indeed. And so those of you who are listening to today's program may actually be inspired to have your young person who's struggling with science, who's struggling with the Bible and science, who's struggling with the things that are being said by people who Well, in comparison with Isaac Newton, are utter ignoramuses. Compared to the greatest scientific genius the world has ever known, utter ignoramuses. They might actually want to understand and hear some of the things that Sir Isaac Newton had to say. This program would be a great way to introduce them to that. And it will be available on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org, from now and for at least a year. And so, as all of our programs are, they're available to you. I hope you'll be telling your friends, emailing them, texting them, giving them a telephone call, whatever, communicating to them the importance of the programs that you listen to here on Viewpoint. So, who was this man whose stature has dominated the scientific landscape for three centuries? Well, for Newton, the world of science was by no means his whole life. In fact, believe it or not, he spent more time on theology than on science. Indeed, he wrote about 1.3 million words on biblical subjects. Yet, this vast legacy of his biblical writings lay hidden from public view for two centuries until the auction of his non-scientific writings in 1936. Newton's understanding of God came primarily from the Bible, which he studied for days and weeks at a time. He took special interest in miracles and prophecy. In a manuscript on rules for interpreting prophecy, Newton noted the similar goals of the scientist and the prophetic expositor: simplicity and unity. Simplicity and unity. Now, I want to share with you some of the details of Isaac Newton's life as foundational to the further discussion in the second half of the program dealing with the issues of prophecy and how he came up with this figure, 2060, as the potential end of the age. Newton was an English mathematician. He was an astronomer and a physicist, but he was described in his day as a natural philosopher. He was recognized as one of the most influential scientists of all time and was the key figure in the scientific revolution. His book, The Principia, actually the name is a lot longer than that, but it's generally referred to as The Principia, which were mathematical principles of natural philosophy. It was first published in 1687 and laid the foundations of all classical mechanics. The Principia formulated the laws of motion and universal gravitation that dominated scientists' view of the physical universe for the next three centuries. He removed the last doubts about the validity of the heliocentric model of the solar system, that is, the sun, center, and demonstrated that the motion of objects on Earth and of celestial bodies could be accounted for by the same principles. So the motion of objects on the Earth and the motion of bodies in the heavens could be accounted for by the very same principles. So his theoretical prediction that the Earth is shaped like a spheroid was also later vindicated. The guy is incredible. How incredible was Sir Isaac Newton? Well, we're going to find out just how incredible he was by the opinion even of current scientists as we move forward in today's program. Newton built the very first practical reflecting telescope, developed a sophisticated theory of color based on the observation that a prism decomposes white light into the colors of the visible spectrum. His work on light was collected in his extremely influential book called Optics that was first published in 1704. He also formulated the law of cooling, made the first theoretical calculation of the speed of sound, and also was co-founder of the calculus. The argument still continues as to who really was the founder of the calculus. He or another fellow that was working independently. But here's one of the fascinating things about Mr. Newton. He was a devout but unorthodox Christian. He refused to take holy orders in the Church of England. He served two brief terms as Member of Parliament, and then in 1705 was knighted by Queen Anne. That's why he's referred to as Sir Isaac Newton. Newton's work has been said to distinctly advance every single branch of mathematics that was then studied. Just amazing. It is hard for anyone with an average intelligence to comprehend such a man. It's no wonder that the English poet Alexander Pope wrote the epitaph for his grave, "Nature and nature's laws lay hid in night. God said, let Newton be, and all was light." The mathematician Joseph Louis Lagrange said that Newton was the greatest genius who ever lived. Now, let's compare Sir Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein. In this day and age, most people know the name Einstein, and we think, wow, he's the standard for intelligence. He's the standard for genius. Well, nobody would diminish Mr. Einstein. But Albert Einstein kept a picture of Isaac Newton on his study wall. And Newton remains influential to today's scientists, as demonstrated by a 2005 survey of members of Britain's Royal Society, by the way, that Newton once headed. And they were asking who had the greater effect on the history of science, Newton or Einstein. The Royal Society scientists deemed Newton to have made the greater overall contribution to science. In 1999, an opinion poll of 100 of today's leading physicists voted Einstein the greatest physicist, with Newton the runner-up. But a parallel survey that took place among rank-and-file physicists that was posted to the site Physics Web gave the top spot to Isaac Newton. So you can see, Sir Isaac Newton was just beyond in terms of intelligence and understanding and wisdom that God gave to him. But that intelligence and wisdom and understanding went beyond just the world of science as we understand it. And we're going to see just how far beyond it went. So, Newton's monument is there in Westminster Abbey, right near his tomb. And here is what the inscription in Latin says on the base of the monument. I'm looking at a picture of the monument right now. Here's what it says. Listen carefully. "Here is buried Isaac Newton, knight, who by strength of mind almost divine, and mathematical principles particularly his own, explored the course and figures of the planets, the paths of comets, the tides of the sea, in rays of light, and what no other scholar has previously imagined, the properties of the colors thus produced. Diligent, faithful in his expositions of nature, antiquity, and the holy scriptures, he vindicated by his philosophy the majesty of God, mighty and good, and expressed the simplicity of the gospel in his manners. Mortals rejoice that there has existed such and so great an ornament of the human race." Wow. It's hard to imagine words describing a human being, almost divine. Although the laws of motion and universal gravitation became Newton's best-known discoveries, he warned that gravity explains the motions of the planets, but it cannot explain who set the planets in motion. He said God governs all these things and knows all that is or can be done. He was a humble scientist, therefore. Didn't come with a pre-existing agenda, as most modern scientists do. He saw evidence of design in the system of the world. He said such a wonderful uniformity in the planetary system must be the effect of choice. What kind of choice? Divine choice, friends. In a manuscript he wrote in 1704 that was never intended to be published, he mentions the date of 2060, but it was not given as an actual date for the end of days, as has often been reported, as it were, just a clear prediction. He was against date setting for the end of days, concerned that this would put Christianity into disrepute, which it has for many who keep telling us exactly when this is going to take place, when the Christ is going to come, when each and everything is going to take place. And it's okay for us to observe the times and the seasons. We should. The Apostle Paul said that these things should not take us as true followers of Jesus Christ unawares, as it will take everyone else unawares, for to all others Christ will come as a thief in the night. But not so for those who are prepared and anticipating his coming, as the scripture says. So Isaac Newton said, this I mentioned, that is, the date of 2060, not to assert when the time of the end shall be, but to put a stop to the rash conjectures of fanciful men who are frequently predicting the time of the end, and by doing so, bring the sacred prophecies into discredit as often as their predictions fail. Christ comes as a thief in the night, and it's not for us to know the times and seasons which God has put into his own breast or hand. Fascinating man. I can now see why I was inspired back there in high school to write my principal term paper on the Principia of Sir Isaac Newton. For some reason, my attention, my mind, my heart gravitated to this unusual man. Some might say, well, you know the story about the apple. Well, supposedly the apple then determined his philosophy or understanding, scientific determination concerning the law of gravity. And he often told the story himself that was inspired to formulate his theory of gravitation by watching the fall of an apple from a tree in his mother's garden. Even one of his acquaintances said, actually confirmed that incident, although a cartoon version that an apple actually hit Newton's head was not true. We have a lot of fake news today, too, don't we? Things that are portrayed not true. But what we do want to look at for the balance of the program today is this matter of Isaac Newton and the end time prophecies of Daniel. You see, there are two main books of the Bible that are thought of when we think of prophecy. One is the book of Daniel, and the other is the book of Revelation. Now, these aren't the only books that contain important prophecies. Even the Psalms, Psalm 2, Psalm 83, are very, very important prophecies concerning the end of the age. And almost all the prophets contain prophecies of the end of the age. Not all of them, but almost all of them. But today, as did Sir Isaac Newton, we focus on Daniel primarily and Revelation. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. Before we delve more deeply into the life of Sir Isaac Newton and his prophetic analysis, which is quite amazing and was not uncovered until modern times here. You see, he lived in the early 1700s. But one of the greatest scientists, perhaps the greatest, that ever lived. And today we focus on him. But before we go further, I just want to mention, for those of you who live in Massachusetts and Connecticut, we are planning, my wife and I are planning to join you on November 11th, that's a Saturday morning, from 8 in the morning until about noon, and we're going to have a great time together. We're going to take a look at prophetic developments. We're going to renew marital vows. We're going to renew our vow commitment to the Lord. It's also Veterans Day. We'll have a special focus on veterans. It is going to be a very unusual morning. And I hope that you'll make plans to be there. We've sent out letters. We've sent emails. And if you have not received one and are interested in joining us for breakfast, give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. And we'll tell you how you can make your reservation, and I hope that you will do that. So, we move forward. By the way, let me just suggest to you also, it's been a phenomenon that the greater the opportunities that the Lord opens for us to take this program and get it out there. I have a station in Denver, Colorado, a large station. They have been waiting for months now for us to be able to make a decision whether we're going to go on their station. And we can't do it, because the moment they began to negotiate with us concerning that, and by the way, they cut their rate dramatically to try to make it happen because they want our program. But the moment we began to do that, the donations dropped off. It's just a phenomenon. We've found this to be true often times. So let me just suggest to you that if your heart is stirred by our programs, if you've been quickened in your mind, your heart, perhaps you've been convicted and you've made decisions to honor the Lord and to walk with Him. Maybe you've been encouraged and strengthened in your faith. Maybe it's had an effect on other people's lives that you've spoken to, and it's made a difference in their life. Whatever, would you seriously consider becoming a partner with us? Don't wait for the other guy to do it, friends, because he just isn't doing it. It's very difficult when you're confronting the deepest issues that touch America's heart and home, and particularly the issues that touch the church. If we were to touch primarily the issues that touch the nation as a whole, the funds would just flow in. But the moment you start touching and getting close to home, where professing Christians live, all of a sudden the funds dry up.
It's just an amazing phenomenon. Some people may wonder, well, why is it that it's difficult, more difficult for you to raise money than many of these other programs? I just told you the reason. I just told you the reason. And it's been true for the past 22 and a half years that we've been on the air. So, I urge you. The only way we can continue to bring the program to you, whether you're listening on live radio, whether you're listening on the internet, it makes no difference. It costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get this program to you. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Go to our website, saveus.org, make a generous gift that way, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. But do it today. Don't delay. All right, 2060 was the date heard around the world. Yep, the date heard around the world. On February 22nd, 2003, the Daily Telegraph in London, England, published a front-page story announcing Isaac Newton's prediction that the world would end in 2060. So why did Newton's prediction for 2060 become such big news? Why has it become such a big news story? Well, one reason is because most members of the media and the public had no idea that Newton was anything other than a scientist. It seems that both the media and the general public have a notion about Sir Isaac Newton as a rational scientist that makes it difficult to absorb that Newton was a practicing Christian and heavily involved in prophetic exegesis from the Bible, studies many see as antithetical to the enterprise of science. So, the story about Newton predicting the apocalypse in 2060 was the sort of thing that one would expect to see on the covers of tabloids. But in this case, the story is true. And ironically, the tabloids didn't even cover the story. Maybe because this story, although seemingly counterintuitive to many people, is actually authentic, which you don't necessarily find in the tabloids, do you? So, did Mr. Newton believe the world would end in 2060? Well, not really, not in a literal sense. So what did Newton believe would happen around the time 2060? He was convinced that Christ would return around this date and establish a global kingdom of peace, that Babylon would fall and the true gospel would be preached openly, and before the second coming, the Jews would return to Israel according to the predictions made in biblical prophecy. The temple would be rebuilt as well. The great battle of Armageddon would take place when a series of nations like the Gog and Magog Confederacy invaded Israel. That Christ and the saints would then intervene to establish a worldwide 1,000-year kingdom of God on earth that we refer to as the millennium. So citing the prophet Micah, Isaac Newton believed that this kingdom would usher in a time of peace and prosperity, a time when people would beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and when nations should not lift up sword against nation, neither should they learn war anymore. Now, remember, Sir Isaac Newton lived in the early to mid 1700s. Actually, he was born in the 1600s. So, looking forward for 300 years, actually, he died March 20th, 1726. He was born in 1642 on Christmas Day. So the reality is he lived I think he was 84 years old when he died, and he lived most of his years in the 1600s. So looking forward, can you imagine his studies at that time as the great genius that he was, searching for truth, hungry to know and understand the scriptures? And here's what he believed. Here's what he thought. His study of nature and scripture of the Bible were, in a sense, just two halves of a whole. The discovery of the mind of God. Now, in the final segment of the program, we're going to discover just how profoundly Sir Isaac Newton thought about God, about the mind of God. Oh, I'm telling you, it's something else. He not only was one of the greatest scientists of all time, but also devoted decades of his life to the study of the scriptures, striving to learn the will of God, the truth of history, and the understanding of end time prophecies. So, what did Newton think about the coming of Armageddon, the prophecies of Daniel, and the end days? Well, according to biblical research of famous scientist Sir Isaac Newton, the road to Armageddon and the final battle between good and evil are, well, one writer said, imminent. But what does imminent mean? Well, to some, imminent might mean it could happen tomorrow. To others, when they consider a year 2060, when this is already the year, almost the end of 2017, 2060 would seem imminent, wouldn't it? In other words, it's like the future coming up and staring you in the face. Wow. This is unbelievable. This is something we talked about for thousands of years, and now it's right up in front of my face. It could be 10 years. It could be 5. It could be 30 years. And that seems imminent, doesn't it? And that's why the Apostle John said, whoever has this hope, that is, of the second coming, whoever shares that hope will purify himself even as Christ is pure. In other words, he'll be shaken. He'll realize, hey, if I'm going to be part of this wedding supper of the Lamb, I got to have clean garments. Or I'm not ready. So the rhetorical question is, are you ready? Let that kind of hang over our discussion in this next segment. We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. We're talking about the life of Sir Isaac Newton and the end time prophecies of Daniel, and how this great genius, one of the greatest scientists of all time, devoted so much of his time to studying the Word of God, to trying to understand the heart and mind of God and to get it straight so that he could communicate and lay a foundation for the end of the age for you and me who would live during these end times. These end times. Not some end times, but these end times. Isaac Newton had tremendous understanding. And we're going to take a look at some of his views concerning the book of Daniel and Revelation and the timelines that he saw there and how he came up with this 2060 figure. Now, you and I know that the predictions in Daniel and Revelation are really unimaginable horror, apocalypse for the end of the days. Apocalypse means unveiling. It's not a pretty picture. But interestingly, particularly with the prophet Daniel, the predictions that God gave him, the words that he gave him, were sealed up and not revealed to the writers. Daniel was told concerning his prophecies that there would be such a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. But the angel told him, Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Later on, Daniel was told again, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed till the time of the end. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Well, who are the wise? And who are the wicked? Perhaps that remains to be seen. From God's viewpoint, not from yours, not from mine, not from your pastor's viewpoint, but from God's viewpoint. So who then can understand God's sealed book? Well, Isaiah the prophet gives at least somewhat of an answer. He explains the problem. He says, the priest and the prophet have erred. How have they erred? Well, they've become involved in the culture. They've embraced the ways of the world. Also, they err in vision, and they stumble in judgment, and their lives are not clean. So they can't be trusted. They can't be trusted with truth. Isaiah had several things to say about foretelling the future, and to understand what is to come, we have to look back at his words. He said that fulfilled prophecies are the outstanding, undeniable proof of the existence of God and of the inspiration of the Bible. And no other book predicts the future like the Bible. And God speaks through Isaiah's prophecy, and he says, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? In other words, who can foretell like I do? If he can do it, let him declare it and set it in order before me. And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these then, if they're so great, if they're God. And then he turns around and says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there's no other. I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done. So, fulfilled prophecy is the greatest single proof of God, his word, and its divine inspiration. And Isaac Newton believed that. Not only the Bible, but the whole universe was like a cryptogram set by the Almighty, like a great puzzle that mankind was meant to solve. Now, we're going to get some insight into the mind of Isaac Newton here that should help us to understand our times. He perceived that nominal Christianity was guilty of corruption. He referred to the institution of the papacy as the whore of Babylon. In Newton's writings, he drew a line between true believers and the false church of history. The false church, he said, showed itself to be counterfeit. Concerning prophecy of the true church, Newton wrote, having searched after knowledge of the prophetic scriptures, I have thought myself bound to communicate it for the benefit of others. If they, that is the prophetic scriptures, are never to be understood, to what end did God reveal them? He did it for the edification of the church. And if so, then it is as certain that the church shall at length attain to the understanding thereof. I mean, not all that call themselves Christians, he said, but a remnant, a few scattered persons which God has chosen. Now, this understanding is just almost repudiated by many pastors and parachurch leaders today. Newton wrote a profound warning to all who seek to discover and understand the truth of Scripture. He said, "Let me therefore beg of you not to trust to the opinion of any man concerning these things. Search the Scriptures yourself if you desire to find the truth. And don't be discouraged by the opposition of those that you're going to meet with the world." He said, "They're going to call you hot-headed, a bigot, a fanatic, a heretic, and tell you of the uncertainty of your interpretations. And whether they believe it or not, there are greater judgments hang over the Christians for their remissness than ever over the Jews. But the world loves to be deceived, and they won't understand." Friends, that's exactly what we're experiencing today. Professing Christians refusing to understand. Even their pastors refusing to understand, embracing the ways of the world. And he says there's going to be greater judgments hang over Christians than ever hung over the Jews. So he encourages you and me, if you're convinced by the word of God, don't be ashamed to profess the truth. For otherwise, you may become a stumbling block to others and inherit the lot of those rulers of the Jews who believed in Christ and yet were afraid to confess him lest they should be put out of the synagogue because they love the praises of men more than the praises of God. Boy, this is a scientist, the greatest scientist of all history, friends, and preaching to us in our time. Now, he made predictions based on his intense study of Jewish history. He studied Hebrew so that he could read the Old Testament in the original language. And he was greatly concerned about a cataclysm that would come in these end times. There's so much that I could share with you, and I have to distill some of these things. He believed that Christ dominated both the Old and the New Testaments, that all appearances of the Lord in the Old Testament were actually appearances of Christ. I believe that as well. He dedicated 50 years of his life to analyzing works of Bible prophecy. And he describes the events of the end times as the culmination of 1,260 years of apostasy. That is a gradual, total abandonment of faith and sound religious values. He studied the three major prophetic time periods that Daniel speaks of, 1,260 days, 1,290 days, and 1,335 days. He understood those referring to years. He determined the 1,290 days began in 609 AD. What occurred on that day to begin the countdown? The beginning of horrendous, massive apostasy. Will and Ariel Durant, secular writers in their classic, The Study of Civilization, I have all 10 volumes of it, say, in Rome, the church under Pope Boniface IV and his successors, instead of permitting the further disintegration of pagan temples, reconstructed them to Christian use and care. The Pantheon was dedicated to the Virgin Mary. All martyrs, the Temple of Janus became the Church of Saint Dionysius. The Temple of Saturn became the Church of the Savior. The period of 1,290 years ended in 1899, which was the institution of Zionism, the forming of the first international Zionism conference in Switzerland for the purpose of helping the Jews to migrate back to their homeland in Israel. The 1,335-day prophecy, he said, would end in 1944 A.D., not 1844. on that at the end of World War II. That was 1844, the day before, the year before which I was born, set the stage for the Jews to have their own homeland. The third major time Newton studied was the 1260 days, a time times and half a time, or 3.5 years. Apparently, Newton came up with the idea that one must start with King Charlemagne, who was crowned by the Pope in 800 A.D. By adding 1260 years to 800 A.D., it comes to 2060 A.D. Newton's year 2060 A.D. is the culmination of 1260 years of ongoing apostasy. Now, if you think about Charlemagne, you realize he was crowned as head of the Holy Roman Empire. But in order for that to happen, he had to submit to the Pope. So the Pope actually became head, well, it was the ultimate merger of church and state. Charlemagne, head of the secular empire, and the Pope, who was head of the spiritual empire, and they merged. From that time on, in fact, even earlier than that, the Pope in Rome carried the scepter of the ancient Roman emperors that were called Pontifex Maximus. The Pope then became the Pontifex Maximus that shifted the entire rulership of Rome, both secular and spiritual, into the hands of the papacy. Thus, the woman began to ride the beast in 800 AD. As the two were merged inextricably with Charlemagne and the Pope, inaugurating the Roman Empire of the Middle Ages. One writer says, to such a height of blasphemous assumption had the papacy risen already as to identify itself with the kingdom of Christ and to claim to be the dispenser of temporal prosperity and eternal salvation. Now, the world is trembling on the cusp of the final fateful week of cataclysm and catastrophe. Preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, who will finally deliver this world from its woes, its anguish, suffering, and travail. Sir Isaac Newton, consummate scientist, and gave a word of warning to our time. Isn't it interesting that God, in his mercy and in his grace, sees fit to give us notice? He's a God of due process. He's even given us 300 years of notice through the eyes, through the writings of Sir Isaac Newton, and much of this has just been disclosed. And how about the writing, the musical, of Handel and his Messiah, weaving together the scriptures prophetically in the 1700s, played every single year and sung every single year around the world to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour? Wow. What a God. Question is, are you ready? Are you prepared? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to come clean before God. Thanks for joining us. Become a partner again. Send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. You want to find out a little bit more about the battle for King of the Mountain and the papacy? It's in our book, King of the Mountain. It's on our website, saveus.org.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.